a hero.
For the pursuit of truth, we have the faculty of reason, and that is an arduous, difficult endeavor to come to truth. And religion is just not about that.
As for science versus religion, I'm issuing a restraining order. Religion must stay 500 yards from science at all times.
Well, if we did that, we wouldn't have much to talk about. Now, I should say our executive producer, Steve Paulson, has plenty of questions about religion and science. As a recent Templeton Cambridge Journalism Fellow in Science and Religion, Steve has immersed himself in this subject.
Getting a handle on the charged relationship between science and religion is not easy. Emotions tend to run high. Some people even go so far as saying science and religion are irreconcilable. To get a sense of the range of opinion, I talked with four major figures in the science and religion debate: Edward O. Wilson, Karen Armstrong, Richard Dawkins, and Ken Wilber. First, the great entomologist E.O. Wilson, the founder of sociobiology.
Of course, there is no reconciliation between the theory of evolution by natural selection and traditional religious view of the origin of the human mind.
Now, this is not a view that all scientists subscribe to. I mean, Stephen Jay Gould famously talked about how he considered science and religion to be two entirely separate spheres, and they really didn't have anything to do with each other.
Yeah, he threw in the towel.
He dodged the question.
He dodged the question famously. You know, that's no answer at all. That's just evasion.
What about the sense of awe, of wonder? Certainly, that's something you hear about all the time among religious people, and you also hear about it from some scientists as well.
Well, you do. You'll hear about it from me. Awe is, that's a hard one to put exactly into words, but it certainly involves a sense of sublimity, there's another word, and a sense of the mightiness and the splendor of something greater than ourselves. The story of the origin of life on this planet, the time scale, the complexity of how it's put together, all of that together engenders in me probably even more awe than I ever felt as a devout young Southern Baptist growing up.
Let me ask you about that. You grew up religious, in a religious family.
Oh, yes. I grew up fundamentalist.
Fundamentalist?
Oh, yes. I grew up as a Southern Baptist with a strict adherence to the Bible, which I read as a youngster. And I grew up in a tradition in Alabama in which I was warned by counselors that the truth was in the Bible, redemption was only in Christ, and that the world is full of satanic force. Satan himself, perhaps, is certainly his agents who would try to make me drop my belief. But no matter how lucid they sounded, I was told, no matter how compelling, no matter how smart they were, I was to say, in effect, you know, turn from me, thou Satan. And I had that instilled in me. You have to understand how powerful religious drive, the instinct, which I consider tribalist, but probably necessary in most societies for continuing day-to-day business.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. I mean, basically, yeah, you're saying it's necessary, but it's wrong.
Well, you see, in a way, that's the dilemma of the 21st century. That's possibly the greatest philosophical question of the 21st century, is the resolution of religious faith with a growing realization of a very different nature of the material world. You could say that we evolved to accept one truth, you know, mm-hmm. the religious instinct, but then discovered another. And having discovered another, what are we to do?
That's evolutionary biologist E.O. Wilson.
Scientists, I am sure, would say that they could explain a tremendous amount, but they can't talk about meaning.
Karen Armstrong is an acclaimed historian of religion and author of A History of God and many other books.
If your child dies, or you witness a terrible natural catastrophe such as Hurricane Katrina, and you've lost, you know, you see the dist-